Welcome back to the Friday edition of the Business News Hour. We're going to change things up a bit today and bring you an interview with Steve Garr. Earlier this week, Steve, who is billed as the Jack Bauer of Israel, spoke to Iowans supporting Israel. Steve is here in the Midwest doing a tour through the group known as APAC, or the American-Israeli Public Affairs Committee. Now, Steve is a father, a soldier, a student, and a highly trained counterterrorism expert. His story is amazing. That's why we're bringing it to you tonight. Meet Steve Garr in an interview that, by the way, has an abrupt ending.
The business news of the nation, region, and the greater Des Moines metro made possible through the support of Creamer Law Firm. Business law and estate planning, visit creamerlaw.com. And AARP of Iowa, real possibilities for our community and our citizens, no matter the age, aarp.org.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour. I had an amazing experience. Iowans Supporting Israel had a speaker just this week. His name is Steve Garr, and he is a counterterrorism expert. Now, what are we doing talking about counterterrorism on the Business News Hour? Well, because, quite frankly, it's a business. But he's involved in so many things in Israel, and we had to sit down for just a moment and have a conversation with him. Steve, welcome to the Business News Hour. Nice to have you here.
Thank you for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
You are not originally Israeli.
Correct.
You are from South Africa. How did you get from South Africa to Eretz Israel?
So, born in South Africa into a Jewish family, a very traditional family. And after many years living inside the Jewish community, I felt I had a calling, and that calling that I wanted to become more observant. I wanted to keep the Sabbath. We had a very traditional Friday night, and our home was always filled with a love of God, a love of scriptures. But I think I wanted something a little bit more, and that was my journey. And through that journey, I actually saw the more I got delved into scriptures and prayer, I saw that everything was focused around the land of Israel. I actually went to a rabbi and I said to the rabbi, I don't understand the prayer service, because it says in the service, one of our main prayers, it said that I should pray for rain. But I said, but it's December. I want to go to the beach. So he said, well, Steve, you're actually not praying for rain for South Africa. So I said, well, where are we praying for rain for? He said, you're praying for rain for the land of Israel, because December is winter over there, southern hemisphere. So I said, wow, all our prayers are around the land of Israel. It made so much sense that the logical step after becoming a more observant Jew would be to go to the promised land that was given to us from the Almighty.
And that transition, going back to Israel, then led you into the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, where you did what?
So actually, just before I made Aliyah, went to live in Israel, I started doing community security. And it's that when I really developed a passion and saw that I had a talent and an ability to help out my community and keep them safe. So I was on a reaction unit over there, helped with the protection detail of the chief rabbi of South Africa. That training I all did in South Africa, and was able to start my military career, I believe, started over there. After going to Israel, I joined a regular infantry unit, I would say the best unit in the Israeli army, Golani.
Golanis?
Yes. And I served in that unit as a regular soldier. I got a speciality being the Negev, which is a submachine gun, an Israeli-made weapon. And lucky that I was able to get an award for Soldier of Excellence. And I could see that being a soldier was something I enjoyed. I left the army. It was one of the hardest decisions. I wanted to start a family and get married, settle down, and I took the plunge, and I left the military. But when I left the military, I was able to continue my service as a reserve soldier in being on a counterterrorism unit that would stop and be the first response to a terrorist attack that would happen on a civilian population.
And you're here in Iowa by courtesy of APAC, correct?
Correct.
You're here speaking to Americans all over Iowa. What is it about Israel that Americans don't know?
Look, I think the world's becoming a lot smaller now with technology, with internet. But, especially with the media that's happening out there, the CNN, BBC, I really believe they portray an image that is not true of what's happening on the ground in Israel. And, you know, I think the Israeli soldiers, and, you know, I don't just blame, as your president, President Trump, coined it, fake news. I don't just blame that. I also blame very powerful organizations, the BDS movement, that really giving a very negative perception of Israel. But for me, what hurts the most is the negative perception of the Israeli soldier. And I'm dedicated to show that that image is just not true. I'm proud to say that I'm part of probably the most moral army in the entire world. And for me, I want that message to come out very loud and clear. And that's really the purpose of me coming to speak to people all over the world.
You spoke today to Iowans supporting Israel, and you gave some incredible stories about your home life, about what you do for a living, what you do for in the reserves, the counterterrorism unit. Also, you are an executive with a nonprofit, an NGO in Israel that deals with learning and kids with and adults with special needs. What's that about?
Right. So I've actually been blessed with an incredible wife that has been able to help me get a lot of balance in my life. On the one hand, being a soldier on a counterterrorism unit, also being an instructor for counterterrorism, that's my military side. But on the other side, I'm the assistant director of a program called Yeshivat Darkeinu. You're right, it's part of a non-profit organization called Or Torah Stone. And that organization allows young men and women to come to Israel to learn. But these men and women have got special needs with Down syndrome, many with autism, and they're able to come to Israel like any other overseas student who really wants to learn about their heritage, wants to learn about what it means to be a Jew, to learn scriptures. So we're the only program of its kind that really allows them to come to Israel and experience that learning scriptures in the Holy Land. And I've been involved in that program for the last 9 years.
That's an amazing program. Now, your day, your morning, you indicated, is spent with this nonprofit.
Correct.
In the afternoon, what are you doing?
So that's my other passion. I love learning, especially not only secular studies, but my passion is really religious studies. I'm studying to become a rabbi. It's through the same organization, Or Torah Stone. You may have heard of the head rabbi, Rabbi Riskin. He's the chief rabbi of Efrat. And he's taken me under his wing and helped me, given me the time and the space to learn and to get my smicha, my ordination of becoming a Jewish rabbi.
How long you got?
So that's the great question my mother always asks. So I would say I hope at a year and a half I'd be able to finish my studies.
You indicated that there are a couple of loves in your life. You love being a husband, a father, a educator, and a protector. Give us, if you will, a sample of what it is that you're talking about when you're talking about being a counterterrorism expert. What does that mean?
So it's not really in terms of an expert. There's two parts of counterterrorism. One is being a soldier. So I'm always on call. You know, I could be sitting down with my family to have a Sabbath meal. The Friday night for us is beautiful. My home is filled with just the smells and the spirit of the Sabbath. My kids all dress in white. You know, we live in a religious neighborhood, which means there are no cars on Shabbat. It's really for what I believe is paradise. But that paradise is broken when my radio goes off and I've been activated. There's a terrorist attack. So my weapons are with me 24/7. I, in fact, sleep with my handgun is under the pillow of my bed. You know, when I get activated, I don't have time to go and fiddle with a safe. I have to get out there very fast. Counterterrorism in Israel, the research we've done has said that every second that goes by, another human being can be killed, which means we really have to be fast in reacting. So a beautiful, tranquil Friday night meal can turn into a combat situation very fast, and it has on many occasions. I've had to leave and go out. My children, for many years, didn't have a clue where I was running. They just knew that I had to go somewhere important. My wife's always known.
Abba has to go now.
Abba has to go now.
Yeah.
That's right.
You indicated that you don't even tie your boots, that they're pointed outwards as you go, because it takes how long to tie your boots?
So I haven't actually timed how long it ties them, but what I wanted to do is that when I get home, because I have to be in a state of readiness, at any moment I can be called, which means I want to do my car's reverse parked, my bulletproof vest is put on the driver's seat so that while I'm getting into my car, I can slip on my bulletproof vest while getting to the location of that terrorist attack. Leaving my home, I put my boots together facing outwards near the exit of my home so that when I'm leaving, rather than going to combat barefoot, I can slip my boots on. The laces are tucked inside, so I don't have to tie them. My point was is that I've actually timed how long that delay takes. My just stopping at the front door, slipping my two boots on, and then running out delays me 3 seconds. So as I told you, the research has shown us every second is equivalent to another human being's life in counterterrorism, which means I need to be very fast. 3 seconds could mean that when I arrive at that terrorist attack, God forbid, if I see people that are killed, three of them, Scott, I put my boots on. Huh. And that's a decision we have to live with. You know, everything we do has ramifications.
You told another story while you were here in Des Moines about a bar mitzvah that happened at the training range. I'd like you to tell that story because I thought it was extremely powerful.
Right. So, you know, being a shooting instructor, and that's the other side when you say counterterrorism expert. So one of the things that I do is not only a soldier, I also train units. I train police units. I train military units. I also train units from overseas, SWAT teams, counterterrorism units. But I also was able to start a tourist program where tourists are able to get a little bit of a taste of what Israeli techniques are in counterterrorism, the speed, the accuracy, what's involved. And we opened it up to the public. It really took off. It's something that's been quite successful. One of the groups I took was a bar mitzvah group. There were maybe 50 people on the shooting range, all family that had come to Israel to celebrate a little boy's bar mitzvah. Everyone shot, and when I was doing the summary, a little boy came up to me, 13 years old, the bar mitzvah boy, and he said, you know, Steve, my Zayda, my granddad, didn't get an opportunity to shoot. I said, well, bring him over. I saw him run to the end of the range, and he convinced him. And this old man, over 90 years old, was hobbling towards the firing line. You know, I put him into position. His legs were in the right position. I put the stock of the gun into his chest. I took his weak arm and put it underneath the barrel of the gun, and that's where I saw a number on his forearm. And I understood this man was in the Holocaust. I let him shoot his bullets. And when he was done, I took the weapon and I made it safe. I took the magazine out. But when I looked at his face, I saw tears rolling down his cheeks, and I apologized to him. I said, you know, sir, I'm so sorry we got you to shoot. You know, guns are devices made for killing. Their engineering design is to take a life, and this man has seen so much death. I said, I'm really sorry. This probably brought back traumatic memories. He said, Steve, you're mistaken. He said, these tears that you are seeing are tears of absolute joy. He said, you know, I never ever believed when I was in Auschwitz, one of the most horrific concentration camps in the Holocaust. He said, I never believed that I'd have a grandson. And he said, but here I am celebrating my grandson's bar mitzvah. Not only are you celebrating his bar mitzvah, I'm in my own country, the land of Israel. Now, although I'm American, I believe the home of the Jewish people is the land of Israel. And here I'm in the Holy Land celebrating my grandson's bar mitzvah, standing next to a soldier from an elite unit. He said, this I couldn't dream of in my wildest dreams. If you told me I'd be doing this when I was in Auschwitz, I'd tell you, you're mad. But we've come a long way as a nation. And just when he said that to me, we rose out of the ashes of the Holocaust to create something beautiful, a vibrant community, a community and a country that wants to help the rest of the world in whatever way we can, if it's technology, if it's medical science. And I saw those tears were really tears of joy and of being a proud Jew.
Steve Garr, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to him about his experience here in central Iowa as he makes the rounds, talking to all kinds of people from various backgrounds, Christians and Jews and individuals who come from all faith backgrounds, about the story of his life in not only South Africa, but also now in Israel. Steve, you also indicated one of the things that hurts you the most is the perception that the Israeli soldier is mean and cruel and has at...
And that's where we had to leave it. We were at the Central Library here in Des Moines when the fire alarms, the emergency alarms, suddenly went off and we couldn't finish our conversation. I will tell you that Steve is passionate about his love for his family and his country. And had we been able to end that interview with his story about the IDF, you would have heard about the many times, not reported in the media, about how the IDF cares for people in Israel, no matter their faith group or their standing, running toward the danger to protect and defend. If you ever hear that Steve Gar is anywhere close by, go and listen to him speak. It's truly amazing. When we come back, it's our restaurant of the week on the Friday edition of the Business News Hour.
Sophie.